Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A good Friday morning to you. Welcome in, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is a football Friday. We'll get you ready for a big weekend around the college football landscape. We'll get you ready for a massive Sunday in the NFL. The Redskins and the Vikings 2 days away. Happy day the Penguins visit the Capitals in D.C. day.
Just as a reminder, I hate the Pittsburgh Penguins. We don't do enough reminding people in D.C. and these D.C. sports fans that we're bantering with you and Anna Daly. We need to get back to hating the Giants more, and we need to keep the fire of hatred burning for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It cools a little too often for me. We forget, and then we're reminded when they come to town and yuns and yins just start strolling in. And there's like 85 teeth between the 700 people that are Penguins fans and the stupid black and yellow jerseys. I hate them. Let's hate the Penguins more as a people.
My largest frustration with that fan base is that when they beat the Capitals in D.C., they all take to the Portrait Gallery or whatever that building is right across the street from Capital One Arena. And they sit on the steps, several thousand of them, waving their towels and take a big photo. On nights where the Capitals win and Penguins fans can't do that, I'm the most happy. So that's important that that does not take place tonight. It's actually one of those weekends in D.C. sports where if you elect to, you can be really busy going to games. You got the Caps Pens tonight. You got the Hawks and the Wizards tomorrow. You got the Vikings and the Redskins at FedEx on Sunday. And then the Kings and the Wizards back at Capital One Arena on Monday. So for the next 4 days, there are games at your disposal in town for your favorite clubs. We'll be covering all of those games as the show rolls along today. Trent Green of CBS is in the booth each week calling one of their games as a color commentator. You also hear him on Westwood One on radio calls. He will be on the show at 11 a.m. We'll spin around the NFL with him. At 1 o'clock today, we had a semi-surprise call from Josh Norman earlier this week that many of you missed. We've had a lot of you tweeting us asking about that interview. We will re-air it at 1 o'clock today for those of you who didn't know he was going to be on. It was kind of a last-minute thing.
Just kind of happened.
We talked to him not just about the win over Seattle, big picture stuff on his love for football and where it came from, as well as a preview of Sunday against the Vikings and Case Keenum. So it's still very timely, and it'll work at 1 o'clock today. So if you missed Josh Norman on Grant and Danny, a lot of people have been buzzing about that interview. You can hear it today in our final hour on The Fan. But we want to start with last night's Thursday night football game. The NFL's 10th week kicked off with the Seahawks beating the Cardinals 22-16. Among the big plays in the game, a wacky touchdown throw from Russell Wilson. It reminded me of playing against the 9-year-old in Madden who doesn't really know what is allowed and what is not in football, what is acceptable and what isn't, what leads to interceptions and what doesn't. He just kind of uses the joystick to run all over the place, away from traffic, in the backfield, 20 yards one direction, 20 yards the other, and then no look, just hits a button and tosses a throw up into the afternoon sky. Russell Wilson did that last night in real life, and it came down into the leaping arms of Doug Baldwin, who mossed the DB, and then he turned it upfield for 50-some yards down the sideline to set up a first and goal. It was probably the craziest play of the season. It was by far the most amazing play of the NFL season, but it was also a terrible throw. It was one of those things where in a million years, you should not have done what Russell Wilson did, and it worked beautifully, and so we heap a lot of praise. But to me, that play was more about Doug Baldwin than Russell Wilson.
Well, I could see both ways. In other words, he should have been down. I think 30 quarterbacks in the league are tackled right there. You know what I mean? A couple times over, and he escaped. That's why he's special. Dropping back to pass with the standard pocket and throwing the ball, he's replacement level. That's why he's a winner. That's why he's exceptional. That's why he's almost better. And my dad said this after he saw him play once. Pete Metters and I were talking before the show. This is Fran Tarkington 2.0. Just a 5'11 guy back there making plays. He's better when chaos ensues. He's better when he's under pressure. He's better doing that than he is in the standard, again, seven-step drop, pat the football once, your read takes you right here when he's peeking around these towering offensive linemen. That's when he's special. So the not getting tackled in the backfield part was pretty special. So I give him maybe more credit than you do there. But I'm also with you. Probably throw it away. Probably should just throw that ball away, but of course it works out and we'll celebrate it. I guess, you know, rightfully so because it worked out. But man, what a crazy play. But all that was awesome. Sort of the nothing to see here. Seattle beat Arizona. Arizona's not very good. They have no quarterback. They're broken.
Adrian At least Peterson they ran the ball cute. 21 times for 35 yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's adorable. That's precious. Keep trying, I'm sure. Run the dang ball. Physicality. Downhill. I only want to talk about the Andre Ellington catch where he ran the ball for 8 yards, stripped and stumbled, and the ball came loose and they called it not a catch. It's the only thing I care about in sports today. I want to scream about this. It is broken. The league is broken. Your catch thing is broken. I understand, Grant, how we can get tied into a corner with language, okay? There's a reason we have a third branch of government. A rule is written where you go, hey, you can't speed. And you go, oh, that's a good rule. It's a good rule. Well, what about if your wife's going into labor? What about if you're running from a bank robber? What about if you're running from a mugger? What about if you're a million circumstances? Then you need these weird scenarios where you got to go to the court and then they got to figure out kind of what happened. And each time we add a little layer to the rule, we look up and we go, God, we have 7,000 exceptions. It used to be that if you had the ball in your hands, it was a catch. It used to be that if somebody threw you the ball and you had it, everyone was like, yeah, that's obvious. It's a catch. We are now to the point where we have added so many commas and asterisks and amendments and changes to the change and injunctions and stays and the preliminary injunctions and stays against the injunctions and emergency relief against the initial injunction that was slapped on with the first appeal, not the second appeal. Don't be confused. We are now to the point where reason is dead. A man caught a football. A man ran for 8 yards with the football. A man fell down, and they said it wasn't a catch. In theory, you could catch the ball at your own half-yard line, run 99.5 yards, stumbling the entire way. You fall down to the end zone, the ball comes loose, and it's not a catch. What's the limit?
So my biggest problems are twofold. One, the old line, you know what pornography is when you see it. You know what a catch is when you see it. We need to be able, as you said, to legislate with some common sense. Now, that is not to say that there shouldn't be rules. But here are the specifics, because you used some hyperbole. So I want to be very specific, and I want to give the exacts on last night's situation. Ellington has beaten Bobby Wagner inside. He is running an in-breaking route. He catches the football at the 31-yard line. I would even say the 31.5-yard line. He takes 4 steps with the ball locked in his grasp, not moving at all. 4. Stumbling forward from the 31.5 to exactly at the 25-yard line. That is 6.5 yards where he had the football. Stumbling the entire way, as if maybe think about it as you're walking along and you kind of like stub your toe on a curb you didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. And you speed up pretty suddenly and violently, try to keep yourself from falling forward by taking a few big steps. That's what he was doing. So he tripped, and from the 31 to the 25 for 6 yards with 4 stumbling steps, he has possession of the football. He goes to the ground, and as he gets to the ground, his right arm hits the ground first, and the way that he lands gets stuck on the ground to the point where he doesn't bounce back up. And because of that, his body's weight and the inertia moving forward forces the ball over his arm to bounce up into the evening
sky. Like a squirt kind of ball, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of shoots forward several yards. He has now fumbled. That is a catch and a fumble. It was ruled that way on the field, by the way.
Clearly.
The review says that he didn't catch it because you have to maintain possession going to the ground. And this is where this, to me, is so ridiculous. In these instances where Cam Newton, let's say, or a quarterback who rushes for a bunch of touchdowns. Let's say Kirk Cousins on a read option. If Cousins fakes a dive and then keeps the football around the edge and gets stacked up at the half-yard line, and he reaches the ball out over the goal line, and almost at the exact same moment the ball touches the goal line, someone slaps it away for a fumble into the end zone. If they go back and review that a quarter of a centimeter of the football touched the goal line before the ball came out, even if no one touches it and he just loses it, he's stretching out, he fumbles as he's reaching out. If a centimeter of the football is over the goal line and then he fumbles it, that's a touchdown because the world stops at the goal line. Yet, you could, as you're saying, you could stumble for 13 yards. I could be catch a ball at the 10, fall down at the 23, as long as I'm still in the same kind of process of going to the ground, and I lose the ball, and it's an incompletion. This rule is broken. It does not work. It needs to be changed. We've been talking about this for years, and it's only getting worse.
The going to the ground bit of nonsense is now really the worst. Because, again, passes on the sideline where a guy's out of bounds, like hits a camera operator, slides, and then, you know, then drops the ball. It's like, well, you didn't complete the catch through the ground. It's like, dude, in the field of play, I toe-tapped, 2 feet in bounds, ball in my hands, catch, please. Stop it. Stop this. Conversely, you've also got these moments. You think of Robert Griffin's scramble touchdown against the Giants that was called back because he, you know, bobbled the ball for a split second but had the ball in his hands in the end zone. Austin Seferian Jenkins against the New England Patriots. That should have been a Jets touchdown. Their rules are so asinine. There's Frank Hanrahan's been on this for years. He hates replay. He wants all replay banned. And in general, I'm anti that because I just want the calls to be correct. You can't get it right. You are no longer capable, National Football League, of correctness. I understand why how we got here. I get it. I really do. In the search for the perfect way to phrase something, in the search for the every permutation covered, all the amendments, as I said. That's what happens. It's how laws work. It's why you have professional judges to adjudicate these sort of things, right? That's why they exist. That's why we're here. I get all that. I know this. Scrap it. Start over again. You scrap with the rest, now scrap with the best. Let Potomac Meadows get on this thing. This is so dumb. It's so bleeping dumb. He had the ball. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not mad at you. I want you to know that.
I'm kind of yelling at
Dar. He had the ball for steps and strides, and then he fell down. That's a catch. In any universe, in any planet, where they just invent rules, where they just sort of start recreationally throwing the ball around. Yeah, that's obviously a catch. Of course it is. Let's move on from there. The idea that that is not a catch means we have no rule of law anymore. Your sport is destroyed and broken.
Yeah, here's how I want catches to be determined. If you take 2 steps with the football and you have possession, it's a catch. Nothing else matters. So if you go to the ground and you lose it, the way that Ellington did last night, that's a fumble. If you go to the ground in the end zone after 2 catches and you lose it, Dez Bryant style, that's a catch. Sorry. You took 2 steps in the end zone with possession of the football. Nothing else matters now. It's over. Just like in the field of play, it would be over. Let's open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Your thoughts on the call last night to take that catch fumble off the board and make it an incompletion. Also next, there was another controversial storyline coming out of Thursday Night Football. A slew of injuries, including a star loss for the season, and an agent of pretty high influence saying it is time to abolish Thursday night games. We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.